From the LiveX studios in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. I'm coming to you live from the podcast studio in Midtown Manhattan. Corey joins us live in Green Bay, Wisconsin, across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we shake off an embarrassing performance by the Packers and get ready for a Monday night showdown in the desert. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Romeo Dobbs.
We got the bad. We got
run defense.
We got the ugly. We got
another slow start. Banky, if they come out slow again against the Raiders, I'm going to have some words with these people. I can't handle it, man. That is some ugly brands of football. Can't have it. Can't have it, Corey.
I mean, I don't think anybody – I think if everybody was like, hey, you're going to be 2-2 and these are the teams you're going to beat and these are going to lose to, I don't think anybody would have hated on it in training camp. So, you know, it is what it is.
You're just going to rationalize it away, huh? You're just going to be like, Nagler. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Is it a young team?
I get it.
It's a very young team. Did Matt LaFleur get the most pissed off you've ever seen him in your entire life or as far as publicly? Yes.
I mean, yeah, after that game. But it's funny. I didn't see him get mad at any of his players. He got mad at Pete Doherty. That's a choice. That you can go that route if you need to. I get it, I suppose. Just no BS questions, okay? Banky, no BS questions.
No BS. Dude, what's funny is if that was actually credentialed, he would literally be like, he wouldn't even call on me. He'd be like, no, I can't do BS questions right now. And he wouldn't apologize. He would get my questions. He'd be like, can I get a question from Ryan or Bill, please? Because I just can't take this anymore.
I can't handle any more of these.
Actually, Let me get a long-ass winded question from Wildy because I, you know.
Running clock. When you get a question from Wildy, you're running clock because you know he's going to take a long time and then you can take a long time responding. And now you've eaten up a good chunk of the allotted time for the press conference. So, yeah, a Wildy question is always good if you're trying to run the clock.
Oh yeah,
but you know that's neither here nor there. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about the embarrassing parts of Thursday night because that's not how we start shows here, Corey. It's not how Transplants rolls. You know how it works around here. We got to get to the hotness. Let's do it. It's time for the hotness. And look, I know that game was hard to watch at points, but there were still plenty of plays that you could point to and call, hey, that was hot. And none more so than Jordan Love's scamper into the end zone. Let's take a look at this play, ladies and gentlemen. Jordan Love spreading it out. They got their best pass rusher in coverage. This is what happens, people. Jordan Love's just going to take you. He's going to say, thank you very much. Let's take a look at this from the end zone angle. I mean, look at this. I mean, what? Please? I'd love to just run this right down the A-gap into the end zone. That, ladies and gentlemen, that's hot. That is the hotness for this week. Jordan Love, always a friend to the end zone, whether he's throwing the football or running it in. You love to see it. And now I guess we got to get to some Packers news. I know you're excited about this, Corey.
Very excited.
Got to eat our vegetables here. Packers news. David Bakhtiari, most likely done for the year. Placed on injured reserve. Has had one surgery. Is reportedly going to have another. We have not heard from David yet. Although, as we are literally live, I believe guys, the reporters are in the locker room. So maybe David may be speaking even as we're recording here or as we're live. But I know Matt had said on Monday that David himself wants to speak to the media to talk about his future, both this season and next year and going forward and all this. So I suspect probably coming out either tonight or on Thursday, the next time there's an open locker room, we'll finally hear from David and maybe get some more information, but he is most certainly done for this season. That's what all the reporting suggests, which sucks, man. It just sucks. And we obviously here are big, big friends and fans of David Bakhtiari and just hate it. Just hate it for everything he's gone through to end up here playing one game and then on the shelf. Yeah, I mean, I don't have much more to say because, you know, it's been talked about a whole lot, but yeah, it just sucks. It really sucks. Something that doesn't suck, though, Eric Stokes is back at practice. Corey.
Nice.
For the first time since week 9 of last year, Eric Stokes is participating in football activities.
Well, we need another cornerback to not go into press coverage, so that's good.
See, I set it up, and you just knocked it out. That was well done. That was well done, Corey Behnke. I'm impressed. Then we speaking of corners, we have Jaire Alexander and Elton Jenkins, offensive guard, both back at practice. So that's nice. That's a good development. Good, you like to see that. I mean, I need, Corey, I'm telling you, I need, and I'm using the word need here, I need Jaire Alexander to play in this game because I cannot watch the Packers and Raiders without seeing Jaire versus Devontae. We need this as a society. I can't handle it. I can't handle Jaire on the sideline. Nope. I need him out there. And then the bit of a, you know, uptick news-wise yesterday when it was reported that James Robinson worked out for the Packers. He was the fourth undrafted player in NFL history to rush for 1,000 yards in his rookie season. Did that with the Jaguars before getting traded to the Lions, and now he's on the street. So, yeah, the Packers are kicking tires. I don't think a signing is imminent, but they're doing their homework on a few guys. Corey, I know you're always a big fan of news when it comes to workouts and undrafted guys. So I combined all of that into one bullet point here. James Robinson working out for the Packers. I mean, excited.
I don't care where you are in the draft. If you rush for 1,000 yards, you're legit in this league.
You're producing.
That's not nothing in this league. It's hard work as a running back when you're not getting the ball on most teams, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. In a passing league, you're right about that. Exactly. Final bit of Packers news. John Gordon, the artist who helped design the original Packers G logo, all of what's 60 years ago or whatever, has passed away at the age of 83. John Gordon was an art student who was given the task of helping Vince Lombardi design a team logo for the Packers. Did so and has now seen his work become iconic. I mean, not only with the Packers, but football teams all over the place, from Grambling to Georgia to high schools everywhere. John Gordon did that. And we obviously carry the G as our beer. The G means a lot to us. So RIP to John Gordon, an absolute legend, passing away at 83.
Fun fact about the G logo is, you know, it's illegal. It's not just the way that it's formed, but the color that it is. So the G must always be lighter than its surroundings.
Ooh,
okay. So anytime you see the Packers G, now this doesn't count for Georgia or the other teams, but as a branding guideline, The G is illegal is if it is surrounded by a lighter color than itself. Interesting fact.
That's nuts. I mean, they're so down to the minutia on this stuff.
You didn't know that.
I did
know that.
I learned something new today.
The G's on my fence are legal because they are surrounded. The border is darker than because they're popped out. But there are a lot of illegal G's now, and there are a lot of actual brands that have licensing that have an illegal G. And then also, I was very proud of the fact that some notable Green Bay Packers personnel came to LiveX today. Mm. And as I showed them the carry the G beer, they noticed that, of course, I didn't go anywhere near an illegal or legal G. It's just a nondescript G. It's not the Lombardi G. And you know what?
Of course.
Yeah, John Gordon, RIP. But, you know, at the end of the day, the person who is 100% most responsible for the Packers G as we know it is one Vincent Lombardi, of which the avenue behind me is named after. And that's, you know, because he was a Yankees fan. It's crazy. Crazy, 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 crazy. It's just a crazy story. True. Like, hey, I was a Yankees fan, and I love what the Yankees have, and they have a trademark, so we need a trademark. And now
they have a branding advantage, and we need to get on board with that, no doubt. And, like, hey, John Gordon helped.
Thanks, Vince.
Gordon helped in that regard.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about this offense. Let's talk about this offensive line, which is officially a mess. Corey, I have labeled it officially. That's right, hot off the wire. The Green Bay Packers offensive line is officially a mess. Now, I understand Elgton Jenkins is back at practice today, and that's exciting, but I'm going to be surprised if he plays on Monday night.
What?
You got that bye week sitting. They got the bye week sitting right there on the back end. He's coming off an MCL injury. That's not insignificant, you know? I understand he's practicing.
Why are you getting me all excited with the Elgton Jenkins news, and then you're telling me he's not going to play?
It's just news, Banky. I didn't editorialize it. I'm just he was back at practice.
See how
that's all I said.
See this right here when I'm on this show, and when I get frustrated at you, then
you wrinkle
this,
your brow.
This line,
yeah.
And now it's been wrinkled. I'm blaming that stressor on you. I'm blaming that on this show.
Makes sense. I get it.
I don't understand.
So the mess
is
all
it.
across the board.
When is our offensive line not going to be a mess? Because, you know, 2019 I was holding out hope, 2020, 2021.
2020 was good until Bach got hurt. But here's the thing, all right? Hey. They're very young. They're very inexperienced because of that youth. But I highly encourage everyone, and I mean everyone who's watching this or listening to this later on the podcast, go watch Packers playbook this week with Dusty and John. Kuhn does a phenomenal job of highlighting things that are very, very correctable. Even, you know, all the problems they've had running the ball, and it's been really hard to watch at times, but you get down and dirty with it and you look at the technique or lack thereof and the things they're not doing well, kind of synchronizing across the line. They're all very correctable and they're all very kind of not glaring mistakes, but they're things that you can point to in film work and go, this is the one thing in this play that if this is done better, we're going to be a lot more productive. And Dusty and John broke down 5 running plays from the game on Thursday night where this is the case, right? So as much and as fr- you know, as much as
okay,
I am frustrated
about,
with the
okay,
offensive
okay,
line.
I haven't seen it yet, and I highly recommend everybody go see this, okay? But here's the thing. That bull rush on Newman – oh my God! I don't think that's technique. Bro.
Yeah,
that's not technique,
well,
bro. That's just getting your ass handed to you.
There's some of that. There's
bro. That's not even a 3-step drop. It's like 1-2. Oh, I'm sacked. Hi.
Here's where I'm at. Like the Newman thing is unfortunate, and he's battling and doing everything he can, but he's clearly not up to snuff, right? I don't think
he
it takes a rocket science.
He sucks.
To
let's
tell
be
you,
real. He sucks.
He's not very good, right? He's not playing very well, etc. Like I said, I don't think Elton's back this week. Maybe he is. We'll see. We're very early. That's also the other thing. We're very early, and the Packers go very late this week because of the Monday night game. We don't get our first injury report till like Thursday. So
a lot of time.
We'll see, right? A lot of ball game left. But if Sean Ryan can't get on the field this week, when the hell is he ever going to get on the field? Because there is no way on God's green earth that Stenovich and Butkus and these guys can look at what Newman's doing out there and say, yep, send him out there again. The beatings will continue until morale improves. Like, what are they doing if they don't put or at least try to give Sean Ryan a chance? And I'm not saying he's going to be the answer. I'm not saying he's going to come in and play even like significantly better than Newman. But there's no way that you can tell me that they're looking at the same tape that's available for every pair of eyes on this God's green earth and say, yep, nope, got to roll Newman out there again. Like, I can't. I can't believe that's a conversation being had inside 1265 Lombardi. I can't. There's no way. So
maybe
I mean,
maybe Matt just doesn't care about the O-line. Like, it's like, you know how, and I don't mean this facetiously, right? I kind of do, but I don't really. But like what if, like, okay, so you know how, like, in live streaming, like, there's certain things. Like, I love live streaming all around, right? But there's certain things that are, like, annoying to me where it's like, ugh, I don't really want to deal with that.
Aspects of the gig that you don't want to deal with.
Yeah.
Right?
So maybe offensive line is that one aspect of football that he's just like, you know what? Yeah. I'm just going to let Stenovich just do whatever he wants, you know?
Maybe. I don't know if I'd extend that maybe to the defensive side of the ball since he's giving
Joe that's
Barry
clear.
Free reign to do whatever he wants
that's
for 3 years.
Clear. So. That's clear that that's happened, okay? But maybe it's Steno too. Maybe he's just like, you know what, Steno, just decide. Just let
deal
me
with it,
decide.
Steno.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing. Like, okay, the offensive line, right? You got Zach Tom out there battling a knee injury. You got Newman and Josh Myers really stinking up the joint. At what point do you say, you know what, Zach Tom, probably our general manager said his best position coming out of college is center. You got Yosh Nijman sitting there who has played a ton of snaps for you at both left and right tackle. When does Nijman get to play right tackle and Tom bounce in and play center?
You're hurting my
at
brain.
At some
right
point,
now.
It's got to happen. Brain. Here's the other thing. What did Yosh Nijman or say to Adam Stenovich to get in the doghouse the way he has? When you can go back to the playoff game against the 49ers when they trotted out Billy Turner on a bum knee who hadn't played in like a month or two over Yosh Nijman, who had played like 10 games in a row for them. Like, Stenovich has something against Nijman. I don't know what it is. But, man, the fact that Nijman can't see the field when they're this banged up and playing this poorly blows my mind. It blows my mind.
I mean, in some ways, it's like you just want to get some glue going. So you're just like,
yeah,
what do I have that works?
Yeah.
And if nothing works, you're like, well, what do I have that's salvageable? And honestly, continuity is the only thing at this point. I don't even watch tape, and I don't know how Newman is still playing on our team. I don't understand now. And I keep going back. You know, the Lions defensive line is arguably one of the best defensive lines in football. I believe.
Right.
So, yep. They're top five, right? So, but damn, Newman got his ass handed to him in that game. Seriously.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, he did. He did. Just,
now, at the same time, like if we're smart at scheming, right? If we're so dang smart at scheming, we kind of look like Mike McCarthy back in the day where it'd be like, my offensive line sucks. Let me drop back five and try to throw it to five guys. It's like, bro, what are you doing? See space.
Well, yeah, that's funny you say that because, I mean, one way to battle this is get Jordan Love on the move. He's got a pair of legs. Use them. The number of times they had him sitting back there with a defense and knowing, I can just pin my ears back and he's going to be right there, the smack dab middle of the field. The pocket's going to collapse all around him and I can feast. Like, remember the preseason? All of those games where Jordan only played like two series and almost every one of those series included some kind of boot action at least multiple times. Can we get back to that? Especially early in these games where you can see Jordan needs to get into a rhythm, right? Give him some easy throws. Give him some even just delineated reads to try and help him jumpstart early in these games. I get Matt wants to push the ball down the field. He's got all these young receivers. He's trying to make something happen. I get it. But, man, early in these games especially, get Jordan Love on the move. Get him out of the pocket. Use that boot action, that worked so well for him in the preseason and in camp. Get some of that going here in the regular season, especially early, so you don't come out like behind the eight ball where you've run 11 plays and the score is 21-3. Like, you got to start faster in offense, and you got to get Jordan Love into the game quicker. That's
definitely
paramount.
It definitely felt like we underestimated the Detroit Lions. For whatever reason, underestimation. And a lack of scouting on the Detroit Lions defense.
Don't understand. You could tell Matt was like zeroed in because of the fact that they had lost to the Lions 3 in a row. Now it's 4. But he had mentioned it several times during the week leading up to the game where, like, look, this is a team that's given us lots of problems and we've lost and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, okay, yeah, he's on point. He's on message here. That's right. I don't know if he said any of this to the team he's coaching, though, because it didn't look like it in any realistic way on Thursday night. Now, look, at some point, guys got to play, right? Guys got to execute. And you as a coach can scheme up a million things. I talked about this on Carry the G Radio this afternoon. When you're going max protect, you know, and they are in your quarterback's lap in 3 seconds, I mean, that legit happened. You know, at some point as a play caller, you're like, what the hell am I supposed to do?
But that was at the end of the game, though.
No. This is like legit, I think, second or third series. Like, no.
They were in second or third series. Yes. I didn't see the max protect.
Yes. Well, you know why? Because he didn't notice it. Because Newman and Myers were like, no, please. They were like Chip and Dale. You know how they're always like, oh, after you. No, after you. Oh, indubitably, after you. Like that, it was ridiculous. That's not Chip and Dale. That's the other, it's the Warner Brothers dudes. But anyway, you know what I mean. They're just like, please come on in. Welcome to our abode. Would you like to sit on our quarterback? Please, by all means. Like, just, yeah. If you're a play caller, what do you do? Oh, I know what you do. You run the ball. Anyway, no, I'm not going to start that.
Dear.
I'm not going to start that. But, you know, look, we're talking a lot of negative junk, and I get it. After that game, it's kind of expected. It's very frustrating. But I will say, to end the offensive section on a high note, Romeo Doubs is freaking balling, man. You talk about a kid who's making the second-year jump, year one to year two. You saw a lot of frustrations towards the end of the last year down the stretch, coming off of that high ankle sprain, not being able to get off press coverage as well as he would have liked. But man, I tell you what, ain't nothing holding him down this year. He is a joy to watch down in and down out. And he is currently leading the team in catches, yards, touchdowns, and targets. Jordan clearly loves throwing to the guy. The more they can get this guy involved, the more they can get him the ball, the better for the team, for the offense. Good things are going to happen. I love this kid.
With the exception of Devontae Adams, he is the best wide receiver we have had in at least 5 years, maybe 6, maybe 7.
That's a bold call, sir. That's a bold call.
I'm not afraid of it. Name one in the last 6 years that's better than him right now.
I can't name anybody off.
Not Alan Lazard.
Nope.
Not anybody I know. And I would even say he's probably the best wide receiver we've had, exception of Devontae, right? Since Jordy Nelson.
Right. Do. Man, I don't know. It's hard for me to slight MVS like that, given the big plays.
But you can, though. MVS was great, but here's the thing. MVS, like Christian Watson, is going to be a better version of MVS, but MVS did not have 3 to 4 of the type of catches Romeo Doubs is a utility Devontae Adams-like player. There is not a play, including running the field, including short passing, including whatever, that he can't do right now. He's basically proven he can do any catch that the Packers want him to make. So I don't know that MVS.
I'll give you that. I think he's got a wider kind of swath of tools at his disposal.
He's on the field more too because of that, right? So it's like, it's like MVS was more of a spot player of like, okay, he's my number two sometimes, but sometimes Alan Lazard's my number two, right? It's like, no,
I feel that.
Romeo Doubs was playing for us and he was with Devontae, he would always be the number two. And then you'd slot in Lazard or you slot in MVS when you need him, you know?
Somebody else, right? Yeah, I feel that. I feel it. Going to the defense. Run defense. Heal thyself. Everybody talking about firing the coordinator.
How about
everybody
talking about the run defense?
What they got to change. Like, yo, Ain't no cavalry coming. They ain't signing anybody. Joe Barry's still going to be in charge. Same players are going to be out there on the field. They got to do it. Like, there's – I don't, you know what to tell people, but there is no magic bullet here, right? They have to do it. They have to fix it. The guys on the field, the coaches on the sideline, they got to figure this out because there is no action to be taken other than getting down, getting dirty, doing the work, and fixing it themselves. Like, and that, there's just no two ways about it. And as frustrating as it is, I don't suspect much is going to change. Now, maybe, you know, they're going against the Raiders on Monday night, who have not had a great year so far, trying to run the football. Who knows? Joe Barry and company may make them look like world beaters. I mean, I'm not going to be surprised if that happens. But it's a good place to start when you're trying to fix your run defense. Hopefully they get off the bus ready to, like, take it to the Raiders and shut Jacobs down. I'm not confident that that's going to happen. But, man, if there's a place for you to start the turnaround, it is on Monday night in Vegas against this team. It's got to happen. It's got to happen, Banky. I don't know what else they're doing.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. I mean, I'm just not seeing it. Like, how we are going to beat teams is with our offense and with our pass rush and with Quay Walker. And then we're going to get a couple turnovers from the corners, and that's it. Run defense is not the way we're going to be winning. So,
You're probably right. I think you just read that from a poster or a post-it note in Gutekunst's office, because I think that's how he's constructed the team. Eric Stokes, talking about pass defense. Eric Stokes is back at practice. We'll see. I doubt he's active yet this week, like, for this Raiders game. Then they've got the bye week, right? They've got a 21-day window to activate him. They should absolutely bring him along as slowly as possible, get his feet underneath him. And then, you know, I understand people, where do you play him? Like, look, at first you play him in dime situations, situationally. There's no way you're taking Rasul or Jair off the field. He's not a slot, so you're not taking Keyshawn Nixon off the field. Not when you're in base, not when you're in your regular kind of sets. But you absolutely bring him along in these dime situations and obvious passing downs and things like that, trying to ease him back. And if he starts looking like he's finding his old kind of form, then maybe you have a conversation about, oh, well, maybe he should be playing a little bit more. Maybe he should be pushing Rasul. But right now, I've had so many people, in my mentions, like, where do you play him? Does he put Rasul, like, on the bench or back to the slot? Or, like, no. They have spent an entire offseason with their defense set up that Jair's on one side, Rasul's on the other, Keyshawn Nixon's in the slot. That's the basic kind of shape of their cornerback room, right? Yes, Eric Stokes could potentially help you in this regard. But, man, we are weeks, if not months, away from that being a reality. We got a long way to go, and it should be a long way. Like, don't forget, he wasn't playing lights out when he got hurt. It's not like we're adding, you know, some former all pro. I love Eric, and I think he's got all the promise in the world.
Yeah,
but, man, he needs to get back out there and start proving some stuff. Yeah, the upside is there.
He's got a lot of upside.
Unquestioned. You saw it his rookie year. No doubt about it. But, man, teams were taking advantage of him early last season. He's got to work back into it. Work back into it slowly. Somebody that doesn't need to work slowly, they need to work quick, is this edge group. Corey, I was so excited this summer. I was so excited with this edge group. And then outside of Rashawn Gary, through four games, they have been pretty pedestrian.
Yeah.
I mean, I could probably use another P word and say putrid, but I'm not going to be that strong with it. But, man, pedestrian. Remember Kingsley Adegbare had everyone all excited. And he's gotten close. He's been close a few times.
Yeah,
it's a game of inches. I understand. But
the biggest problem, the biggest weakness, in my opinion, is the contain. Like, they're not smart enough of when the edge needs to be a contained edge and when it needs to be a full pop edge of, like, hey, I'm flat out. And it just feels like too many times they're underestimating the quarterback on the opposing side. Like, every quarterback in the NFL, Tom Brady's out of the NFL, right? Aaron Rodgers is out of the NFL now. So every quarterback in the NFL can burn you if you don't contain the edge. And their lack of ability in four games games to contain the edge, not just against, you know, against pedestrian quarterbacks like Atlanta's like quarterback, Ritter. But also, you know, running quarterbacks. Like, it does, the guy doesn't have to be Michael Vick to contain. Like, you got to contain on every play if you haven't, if you don't, if you can't hit a home run, right? It's like hit a home run or contain the edge. Like, choose your battles, and that's where it feels like they're making the biggest mistakes, in my opinion, because the pressure is there. They're having the right pressure.
Yeah.
It's just
let me rephrase that.
They have pressure. It's just they're not applying the right pressure at the right times. It's what it feels like.
Yeah. Well, and look, Detroit's got a good offensive line, so it's not just about this. Just this last game, right? Like, all season, if you look at all four games, I mean, where's Preston Smith been? Where's Enagbare been when it comes to pressuring the quarterback, right? Like I said, Enagbare I know has been close a few times, and I do think Preston's a physical presence who does a really good job, kind of specifically what you're talking about. I think he does set a good edge, and I think he does do a good job with contain. The problem is he's not getting to the quarterback. Like, he's not sniffing the quarterback for the most part, you know? And then you've got Hollins. You've got Van Ness. They're not doing much of anything. You know, Van Ness is kind of making his presence felt at times, but he's still kind of running around like a chicken with his head off. Like, they need more from everyone not named Rashawn Gary in their edge group. I'm just better flat-out play across the board. And that should be a position of strength for this team. And right
it
now,
really
it's
should
not.
Be. It really should be.
100%. All right, let's take a quick look at this matchup on Monday night, Corey. I know you love DVOA. I know you're a big, big fan of that stat. The Raiders are 32nd in overall offensive DVOA and 32nd in rushing offense DVOA. I don't know if you know this, Corey, but there are only 32 teams in the NFL. That means the Raiders suck on offense. They are so bad. They are hard to watch. Now, this is with one game, obviously, with a backup quarterback in there because Garoppolo was dealing with the concussion and blah, blah, blah. I understand all that. But it's not like it was just this past game that they've stunk out loud on offense. They have been bad all year. So if there's ever, like I said before, if there's ever a moment for this defense to, quote unquote, get right, it should be in this game against McDaniels and this pathetic group. But, you know, you say that, the one shining beacon that is not pathetic.
You are talking about the Green Bay Packers defense here.
Well, that's a fair point. It's a fair point. It's a fair point. But, you know, the one shining beacon in Vegas and with the Raiders is Davante Adams. You know, Davante Adams is a problem no matter who is throwing him the ball. We knew that in Green Bay. He got his last week, even with a backup in there. Like, it doesn't matter. Davante Adams is a problem. This is why I need Jair out there. Like, I need that battle. Like, I need
And the Raiders game plan for Adams way better than we ever did, right? It's like they know he's all they got, so they load him up.
I don't know, sir. I mean, there was that last year when he was in Green Bay and Rodgers said he was like the first read on 80% of the plays. So it's not like they ignored Davante.
We don't really understand how.
Not even enough.
I don't.
Wait. Corey, do you realize the Packers are favorites in this game? Even after the horrific showing Thursday night at home on FanDuel and other sports books, the Packers are favored by a point and a half. Raiders getting 3 for playing at home. Still, Packers are favored a point and a half. I mean, do you think that's just how bad the Raiders are? Or is the Packers brand that strong that Vegas is just like, give them a point and a half?
I think it's Jordan Love's play, and I think it's the Raiders are that bad.
I think that's a good combo.
I don't think people are bought in on Jordan Love, but anybody who says Jordan Love is not a good up-and-coming quarterback is out of their mind.
Yeah,
right. They're just not watching football, right? So
they
it's like,
know what they're talking about.
Yeah, he could use a little bit more accuracy. Yeah, he could, but it's like he's already proven he can throw every type of throw out there. He's already proven he can copy one of the greatest fake artists, QB fake artists of all time. Literally, is a clone of him, and that guy was the best to do it. I mean, he's better than Brett. I mean, Rodgers is. I don't know who's better, Tom Brady at fakes. Maybe Brady. Maybe. But, like, Rodgers' fakes were always, like, some of the best in the NFL. And clearly, Jordan has that. You know, my other thing is, I wonder why are the Packers so afraid to run Jordan Love? I feel like I feel like it's almost like we don't.
Well, they did it down to the goal line in the 2-point conversion last week in an option play. Don't get me started, man. Don't get me started.
But it feels like with the young guy,
they need to get him on the move a little bit.
Well, not just you made a point of getting him on the move on bootlegs, but like the kid has legs, so why not in, you know, short down situations? Now that we had a lot of those, but why not in, you know, third and a little bit longer, sevens and eights, you know, maybe get him out there and get a first down when they're, you know, instead of running a screen? Or that's the other thing, like the way that the Detroit Lions were loading up and blitzing us, and they didn't have to send all, they were sending four most of the time, but the fact that we didn't really run a screen, is it just our lack of experience running screens? Is like we don't really run delays and screens lately. It's like all of a sudden it's like, oh my god, pressure. It's like, to me, that is the that is the equivalent of high experience offensive teams, where it's like, oh, you're gonna blitz me, oh, you're gonna pass rush me, okay, I'm not gonna drop back, I'm gonna throw a screen, I'm gonna run my quarterback out because you don't have because you're a little too eager.
It's hard, like, though. It's hard when you're rushing four. Like, screens are great against teams that do like to send pressure or numbers to one side, but when they're rushing four, the problem is everyone behind them has eyes on the ball. You know what I mean? So even if you invite the rush, so to speak, which you do on a classic screen, there's still, like, you know, eight dudes back there going, oh, I see it. And then they run to the ball carrier, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't disagree, though. Like, middle screens, what have you, tight end. We've seen Matt try to do some of that, right? And that's most likely why. Like, if you got a team that does have a dominant front, you got to keep them off balance a little bit. That's what I think. To your point, I think that makes a lot of sense as far as using every trick in the book, the delays, things like that. Like, man, stop dropping back and having empty five wide, etc., like down after down, man. That's, to me, that's asking for trouble. Just asking for trouble. But you know who never asked for trouble, because, you know, he doesn't even believe in it, is Deion Sanders, because it's time for the Deion Sanders quote of the week.
Wow, that was
you like that?
Terrible.
It's pretty good.
No, I thought it was terrible.
If you can't see what's coming with CU football, you've lost your mind. You're just a flat out hater if you can't see what's going on and what's going to transpire. Something's wrong with you. That's a great quote. I mean, I love him. I love him.
That was the Royce Newman of transitions, though. I'm just going to be honest with you.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty apt description of that transition. You know, but you can help out with a transition every once in a while.
I know. Banky, well, the funny thing, what are you talking about? I literally transitioned us into two areas so far this episode. You
two
actually,
whole areas, amazing. Oh,
I got us. I
can't believe.
I mean, that's two more than I normally do. So that's progress. You know.
It's true. It's
something.
Very true.
God, take the win, Stangler. Take a W for once in your life. Jesus Christ.
Big W. All right, let's keep
going. It's time.
This week in the Packer
That's right. It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey, you know, sometimes there's lots of stuff to talk about from around the blogosphere, and sometimes we're the ones highlighting it because we are the story of the Green Bay Packers blogosphere, as happens to be the case this week. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm so excited to let you all know that the Cheesehead TV app is fully updated and ready to go. And I know some of you are out there going, Cheesehead TV has an app? Yes, we do. Thank you very much. And here's what's cool about it is, like, not only do you get our stuff, you get stuff from around the beat, from around the Packers blogosphere, content creator kind of jungle out there. We've got it all for you in one place. Let's roll this.
If you're a fan of the Green Bay Packers, you should already be carrying the G in the palm of your hand with the Cheesehead TV mobile app. That brings you all the latest content from Cheesehead TV, including the team schedule. You can actually buy tickets directly through our app and our trusted partner, TicketGang. Swipe over to the Packer World tab and check out the rest of the Packers blogosphere. This is your one-stop shop for all Green Bay Packers fan content. Download and sign up today.
I love how Tyler has a different voice for every
entity
starts producing content for us. Like, if it's like the radio ad, it's like, try carry the G. And then it's like the app is like, hey, guys, hey, guess what? There's a great app out. You should try it.
It's true.
So good. But yeah, download the app. It's good shit. Every Packers fan should have it. And every Packers fan should try.
It's free.
Carry the G.
It's free.
Free app, baby. What's better than
free app? Not free beer, but free app. Everybody free app. Download it. Just do it. Just download it.
You know, Matt LaFleur has it.
You'll like it. You know what's nice is, what I like about it, it's the quickest way when I put it on my homepage. Like, I put it on my, like, main phone homepage. Like, you can see it in yellow there. And what I love about it is anytime, I'm always forgetting the schedule. So it's, like, literally one click into the app and one click on schedule right away. And then I can just see everything right now. I can see. And then, like, what's awesome is, like, the Lions, if I want to be reminded, it's got, like, we got the scoreboard. We got, I mean, it's just, it's nice, you know? It's clean. It's nice. If you want to see our videos, everything's kind of like clean and there for you, and that's all it does, right? It's not trying to like do a whole bunch of other stuff.
No. And what's cool about it, like you just showed the page with the Lions page. Yeah, you got the score, you got the update, but you also have all of the content that we've created around that game. Like if you scroll down, you've got every article, every video, everything that is created for that specific game, about that game, is all there. So if you're like, oh, what did they write about this? Or who talked about that? Blah, blah, blah. It's all right there. It's all in the app. It's amazing. It's amazing. And what's cool, if you're out there and let's say you've got a Packers blog or you do something on YouTube or whatever, and you want to be included in Packer World, I'm not promising we're going to put you on there, but write to us at contact@cheeseheadtv.com. And if we check it out and we like it, we'll put you on there. Because look, we want Packers fans to have all the best content available to them. And we've got tons of stuff, and everything in that app links to the page in question. In other words, if you're reading Dairyland Express, it links right to Paul's stuff. Like it's not aggregated through Cheesehead TV. It goes to their website. So we just want Packers fans to get all their best stuff, all the best content around. It's dope. That app is dope, man. I can't believe it that we did that. You ready? You ready for some chats? Some super chats, as it were?
Luke Carnes, love having you guys here every week. I love this young team. Future is bright. Carry the G. Thanks for the super chat,
positive.
Luke. Appreciate it. Very positive. Ryan Miller, when do the Packers have availability for people to become a shareholder, or like when is it usually available? Dying to become an owner. Thanks for the super chat. They do it every few years. They just did it recently for the scoreboards. So typically when they're trying to raise money for something that the NFL or some kind of CapEx thing, meaning like capital expenditure that they need, then they'll try to raise money. Or a lot of times after a Super Bowl when there's a lot of interest, like after the last Super Bowl, I think they raised a lot of money that went towards Titletown eventually. So they just did one, so I would imagine they're not going to do one for like 2 or 3 years, I would say, maybe 5.
Oh, probably longer, yeah. I mean, here's the thing is like traditionally over the last 20, 30 years or whatever, they've done it after, to your point, a Super Bowl victory. And you got to think they were holding out hope for 2020, and then they lost the NFC Championship game, and they were like, okay, we're doing it now. Like that, they
did have the scoreboard, so they had a reason, right? And yeah, to 100%. Be fair, and I haven't seen the whole entire tour, but when you really look at what the Packers have done, a lot of people don't really understand the construction that has gone on there in the last year and a half, 18 months especially.
Right.
Pro personnel is now in an entire, like behind me in this building here, pro personnel used to take up space there. They do not anymore. So they have their own facility this way that is completely renovated that I like to talk about is like actually has more basement floors than it does. It's like a 3 or 4 story building, but I believe it's like 8 floors below, maybe even 10. So that's incredible. And then the scoreboards, and then they also updated their broadcast facilities, which a lot of people don't know about when they updated the scoreboards. So they updated to a lot of things. So I don't see that happening until, yeah, I don't see it happening. Yeah, I think you're
right. It's going to be a while. It's going to be a while.
Mimsy, thanks, Super Chat. Time for the weekly Hudson, Wisconsin CTG update. Okay, Mimsy, we've got good news. We have good news and bad news. What do you want first? Okay, first, the good news. The good news is, after being told that last Wednesday, Northwest Wisconsin was getting a truckload of Carry the G, we have now found out that as of yesterday, Northwest in western Wisconsin was actually getting the truck, so we are delayed again. Not 100% sure on Hudson specifically, but we are starting to get trickle-ins from western and northwest Wisconsin, which is very, very exciting to this channel. And it's coming, Hudson. I would hope we could have it in a store in Hudson by the end of the week. That would be my bet. But again, it's Tuesday, and you know, I've been burned before.
We'll
but we're trying. We're trying.
Been burned before.
Trust me, we're pushing it. We're trying to get
for
it everywhere.
Lindsay.
Two very good developments happened today. I had some people touring LiveX, and hopefully I can utilize the connections I made today to leverage us into two very important locations that I'm not going to reveal. Both of those locations are in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and if I'm able to do that, that's going to set us on a path for an even bigger launch. So cross your fingers, people, cross your fingers. Nick G, thanks for Super Chat. I'm a travel nurse from New York and just signed a contract to work in Appleton. Looking forward to Packers football, the holiday season around Lambeau, and a steady supply of Carry the G. Pumped. Go Pack Go.
There you go.
Nick, congratulations.
Well done, Nick.
Nice
that's
work.
That's awesome.
That's pretty awesome. I hear traveling nurses, as they should, right? I'm not hating, but I hear they make some solid dollars. So, Nick, I'm looking forward to seeing some cases from you on social media there. Couple two tree at least. Joe Mailman, thanks for Super Chat. If Newman starts, have Packers abandoned the idea of playing the best five for some other idea?
that's a fair question. That is not
it
even
is.
Trolling. That
it's
is a
funny
fair
too, though.
Question.
It's funny too, though.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
It's as funny as it is fair. Uncultured Barbarian, thanks for Super Chat. Today on Banky on the Beat, Corey takes Bill Michaels to task for decades of bad takes. As a bonus, Banky will mix a drink while doing it. Old Bill Michaels there on LinkedIn. He's the only guy I know putting his show on LinkedIn. I was trying to see how many people are actually watching it on LinkedIn. And I love how, like, when you watch his show, and now this is going to sound like I'm trolling Bill Michaels. I mean, he's intolerable. But I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
Bill
because then
is
I'll
fine.
Be on. I don't want to be intolerable, so I'm gonna hold back from my, I'm gonna restrain my lack of restraint. What's wrong with me? I don't even know myself. Con Krug, thanks for Super Chat. Run defense? Question mark. More like run from their offense. Con, come on.
Con, killing me.
Uncultured
buddy.
Barbarian,
killing
thanks
me.
Super Chat. On a bonus Brandy and the Barbarian, we debate on which of one of us is more blasé on Joe Barry and whether or not a ham sandwich would outcoach him. I mean, does a ham sandwich call press? I guess you could have a ham sandwich with a press. I don't know. There's like so little you can defend about Joe Barry at this point. It's almost
at this
impossible.
Point, I mean,
like, what
it's
can
like,
you hang
it's
your
two
hat on?
Plus years of this, exactly. Like, nothing is a surprise. I talked about it all summer. Like, what's the definition of insanity? Like, Matt got so prickly after that game, and like, look, I get it, man, but you brought him back. What did you expect? What did you think was going to happen? It's not like some drastic change has happened to the scheme. Or the coach, you're still running the same shit. So, yeah, the same shit's going to happen. I don't know, man. Frustrating. Just frustrating.
Justin, thanks for Super Chat. There's a part of me that will be sad seeing Devontae get locked up by Jair all night Monday, but I'm Packers over anyone. He chose Carr over 12-10. Thanks, Justin, for the Super Chat. Yeah, I think he's gonna put up 100 burger for sure. I think he's going to put up 100 at least.
I don't know.
Even with Jair on him, there's just no way. Like,
Devontae's going to get his. But, you know, he didn't choose. I mean, Carr was a nice bonus, but he chose getting paid and playing closer to home. It's just that simple.
He could have got paid day. Here.
Nothing wrong
he
with
got
that.
Paid.
Yeah.
He
no,
got
I know.
Paid.
But he wanted to be closer to home. It's not difficult. Not hard.
I guess. I mean, I hear that argument, but I also like football's a short game. Like, what's another two or three years? Like, I get it. I'm not begrudging his thing, but like, fuck
you.
That guy. Like, at the end of the day, fuck that guy. You know what I mean? No, seriously.
No, I love.
Like,
I know.
No,
I love
no, I don't. No, No, he's not even going to go in the Packers Hall of Fame.
You don't. Yes, of course he's going to the Packers
Hall of Fame.
No. You don't love him. I love him. I love Devontae. No. That's where we differ.
That's fine. I don't agree with you on many things, and that's just one of a million of other things. But fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. It's just like Mama says. We both agree. Fuck that guy. So there you go. Uncultured Barbarian, thanks for the super chat. It's just like Mama says, it be that way sometimes. Exactly. Exactly my point. Exactly my point. Con Krug, thanks for the super chat. Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational mobile app, Emperor Nagler.
Yeah, but doesn't like the Death Star just get blown up right after that? So maybe not. I think the mobile app is much more durable than the Death Star.
The mobile app has already lasted longer than the Death Star.
Both Death Stars. Both of them. So yeah, 100%.
Oh, it has? Both Death Stars were built in like less than 9 years? Really? I thought it took the first Death Star like decades to get built, but I don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
Well, from the planning to implementation, but no.
I mean, no. You know, the Ahsoka didn't even exist until after like the 7th movie, so. He's just making shit up all the time.
Hey, I can't wait. I can't wait. Season finale tonight. Very excited.
Yeah, I know you'll be up at 4 in the morning. I have to say.
No, it's 9 p.m. It's fine.
It's been okay. It's been okay. I just think, largely the whole TV series in general, it just feels like they're trying to punch up to a movie. You know what I mean? Like Mandalorian, I feel like did probably the best job of all of them of like not trying to punch up too much. So then when they try to punch up, it just feels like, I don't know. It's like, it's not a movie. It's an episodic. And I don't know. I don't know. Disney Star Wars, I feel like, is going downhill. That's my, you know. If you take Rogue One and what's the Rogue series? The one with, what's his name? That was really good. That was
Andor. Really good. Andor is the best
thing Andor. Star Wars. Dude, that Andor show. Is the best of the episodics, 100%. But again, they didn't try to make it all like, hey, we're shooting. It's like, as soon as you have to have starships shooting each other and get into space, you've lost. You just lost. You're in a Disney Plus environment, bro. You're not in a motion picture environment, so you just lost the – and Andor, like, I feel like did a good job of that. Andor was so good. Yeah, anyway, yeah, I digress. Wait. Oh, I thought I missed one. What do you mean I'm – okay, I'm sorry I'm not Aaron Nagler and I can't recite The Empire Strikes Back from the beginning to the end. But before I met Aaron Nagler, I knew a lot about Star Wars and I had just as much memorabilia. I have still have the original record in plastic. I still have four of the Darth Vader helmet plastic helmets that hold the figurines. I have the C-3PO one that holds the figurines. I had a Y fighter. I had an X-Wing fighter. I did not have the Death Star because only rich kids had the fucking Death Star. Only rich kids had the Millennium Falcon, so I didn't have that. I had the cheap version you get at a garage sale like 7 years later that I was just happy to have that was all broken and shit. And I'm going to tell you right now, my figurine collection of Star Wars memorabilia is right up there, bro. It is right up there. I can nerd them out with the best of them.
Little doubt.
Sean Gallagher, I will say that's the super cheap.
Wait. I have to chime in here a little bit. Like, okay, what? First of all, your observation that only the rich kids had the Death Star is spot on because my friend Brian had it and I did not. And I was so jealous. I mean, I had everything else. But I had a Millennium Falcon that I literally threw out of my bedroom window when I was like 8, 9 years old because I wanted it to, quote, because in the story that was going on in my head, it was, quote, going into light speed. So I threw it out the window and it like fell and broke and like all that stuff. So I asked for another one for Christmas. And I didn't get it. But I finally got one like when I was like 12 or something. And I remember thinking like, yeah, I'm a little old for this now. But I still loved it and played with it every day. Love me my Millennium Falcon.
Do you know how many stormtroopers?
The Millennium Falcon is almost like a character in the film. It's almost that.
It really is. It's like, do you know how many stormtroopers I blew up with firecrackers in like Bro, I'm talking about hundreds, okay? And I tried to do time lapse with them. Like, yeah, oh, I've blown up so many Star Wars figures. Also, my other thing that was fun, but it's more fun to do with G.I. Joes than it is to do with Star Wars figurines, is the best thing is to take them apart. There's one screw on the back of the G.I. Joe figures. And so if you unscrew them, you can actually get all the body parts, and then you can make all these Frankenstein body parts of people. So I'd have, like, Storm Shadow and one of the other guys, Ninja guy, I think that's Storm Shadow. I have the white uniform Storm guy,
right.
And then the other guy, and they would be the baddest, like, assassin.
Was it Snake Eyes? Was his name
Snake Eyes? Yeah, Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes hybrid. That was the best character I ever invented. And once you could, like, make hybrid characters, it was so much fun. It was so sweet. Star Wars, I wish you could do that, but yeah. Here we go. Sean Gallagher, at least Matt LaFleur's tone after press conferences suggests he knows the issues that need to be fixed. I hope he carries through with what he says. I mean, I love watching his press conferences. I feel like there's a lot to be learned from his press conferences. I have always felt that way about all coach press conferences, because it's the one kind of inside baseball thing that I personally enjoy. He was definitely the most pissed he's ever been in a press conference, for sure.
For good reason. He knows Dan Campbell and the Lions, at the moment, completely own him and his team. So, yeah, I'd be pissed too. Probably spent all week thinking about how we were finally going to get one over on the Lions, and then the Lions came in and kicked their ass. So, yeah, I'd be mad too. But to the point that Sean's making, man, I don't know. I've heard Matt LaFleur point out really obvious things that need to change and or get fixed on his team that then do not get fixed and or changed for the last couple years. So I don't know. We'll see, man. I hope so. I really hope there's some significant change. And significant doesn't mean drastic, but there's got to be at some point. And to his own words, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. If you keep playing the same play style week in and week out, I don't know why you expect anything different to happen. And that's on Matt. That's Joe Barry is a popular whipping boy, and I get it. But it's on Matt to make those changes, to force those changes on the defensive coordinator, who not only did he handpick, but doubled down on this offseason when he had plenty of brilliant options to come in and utilize as defensive coordinator on his team. He bypassed all of them and said, nah, Joe's my guy. Well, Joe's your guy, and Joe's side of the ball is still doing the same shit they were doing last year. So I don't know. We'll see.
Mac Mayhem, thanks for the super chat. What are the odds that Barry lets Tay and Jacobs get 150 yards each on Monday? Go, Pet, go. I think high. High.
Never tell me the odds.
Odds are.
Yeah. There's a decent chance.
Are high. We still win, though. Mimsy, thanks for the super chat. Joe Barry is extorting Matt LaFleur. Only explanation. Oh, man.
You joke, but who knows, man? Who knows?
That's all we got.
That it?
Thanks, everybody, for the super chats. Appreciate it.
We got them all.
I was all excited we were going to end early, but then we started to talk about Star Wars. So there you go.
Yeah. That's what happens. Well, you know, we got to show our appreciation for all the super chats and appreciation for the Patreon members, not only for just all their support throughout the last few years, but who show up in droves now for happy hour. You weren't there last week, Banky. Man, happy hour is a hot hopping time now. My goodness. We had two pages of people happy hour last week. And
I like it.
Tomorrow night is the next happy hour. If you want to support Cheesehead TV, want to hang out with Packers fans worldwide, hop on board Patreon. It's a lot of fun. And it supports everything we do with the brand, as well as Carry the G Club members here on YouTube. You guys make game day a hell of a lot of fun here on the YouTube channel. Cannot thank you enough for the support. Corey, you got anything else before we head out?
No, let's get ready for the weekend, have some nice rest, and then watch the Packers beat the Raiders to be 3-2 and chase the Lions for control of the North. Here we go.
There we go. That'll do it. For this episode of Packer Transplants, we'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time. And just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.